You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Carrie Underwood. Joining us is Michael Musselman, and
in Technicolor,
live in Technicolor, Mike Musselman. Yeah. So tell us what the last 24 hours have been like. You rolling around with your glasses on, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's now like I said earlier just now, was, man, I wish I had, you know, I could wear them all the time, you know? You know, it's just, it's just so weird, Mac. I mean, I'm sitting there at the stoplight just kind of giggling to myself when I see the green light. And I'm like, it's green! You know, like, holy shit, look at that! It's a green light. So, you know, yeah, I get it. Like, everybody's like, no shit, that's what they call it, a stoplight.
No,
I wouldn't. I'm like, dude, it's always been like a white to me, you know, like those, like the new ones, you know. I said, it's never been green. I've never seen green. I get it. Okay, green means go. But no, now I see green. It's like, that is green. I can go.
So of all the things you saw yesterday, what was the coolest thing you saw?
I think like I went by the park and it was the flowers, you know, again, it's really hard to comprehend how, I mean, it's in my mind is like, it seems fake because like I said, I've seen them before and yeah, they're colorful and it's like, but man, the colors, you know, the one thing that I kind of like, oh man, I wish I would have had these things down there in off the I-5 in San Marcos, right? Where the big flower gardens are.
Yeah. First of all, Mike, for people that haven't been stationed at Camp Pendleton, describe what you're talking about and what it looks like.
Down south of the I-5, inland a little bit, there's, I forget what flowers they grow. Is it tulips or?
I don't know.
I don't remember, but it's they grow patches of them, red, yellow, blue, you know.
How big are the patches?
Oh, they're huge. Acres.
Acres and acres.
Yeah, acres.
Patches, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, all these bright, all these good colors. Well, being colorblind, you look at them and you're like, oh, those are really cool. But now, I'm like, shit, I want to go back and look at them with these glasses. Like, you know, I was saying the other day, and probably, you know, I've been all over the world, seen everything. Now I want to go look back at it with these glasses on.
Right.
You know, and it's just, man, it's just, it is, Mac. It's breathtaking because, you know, driving around town, literally, you see something out of the corner of your eye and you're like, holy shit, that's a blue sign. You know, oh my gosh, these cars are, look how beautiful the colors of these cars are. They've always been like this, you know.
Oh my God! How happy is your wife though? She must be excited to see you happy like that. That's awesome. Your daughter?
Yeah, my wife is just, she just all smiles when I'm talking about like, oh, you should have seen this. You should have seen that. Yeah, for her, it's like, yeah, I see it every day. I'm like, please, you don't understand. You know,
that's cool. Well, no, yeah. Hey, tell everybody the story about getting contacted by the company.
Oh, I didn't. My wife did. I don't. And so when it got posted on All Marine Radio, the word in Chroma, I guess, hit a Google alert to their company. So they, one of the guys, listened to the show, and was kind of you know, like, oh, that's cool. And so I'm uploading the video to YouTube to show you know, hey, this is my, because my daughter videoed, you know, my reaction to these things. Because I'm sitting on the sofa and they're like all giggling and they're like, hand me a box. And they're like, hey, okay. And I'm like, what now? You know? And so when I put them on, it was like, go outside and, you know, my reaction to everything. Literally, I mean, you're like a school kid. Like, oh my gosh, look at this. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's just really cool.
So then later on last night, they wound up like on my Twitter feed, they followed us and then they liked the tweet, which I mean, they have like, I don't know how many, thousands of people that follow them on Twitter. So that was pretty cool. But, so yeah, man. So if they use your video, does that mean you get free glasses or anything like that?
I don't know. I'm happy the way, you know, I think eventually, yeah, I looked on the website. They have indoor glasses. Yeah, I'd like to get a pair of those. Yeah, but they're pricey, and, you know, so it's like, okay.
Mike, so what kind of price would you put on this?
Oh, dude, knowing what I know now, I would have paid thousands of dollars back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is not the extreme of giving eyesight to somebody, but this is to the level of opening the world up to what it really looks like. You know, and it's a step down from gaining eyesight for the first time, you know, but to see things in vivid color for the first time is pretty awe-inspiring. You know, I mean, I really look forward to getting out of the house and going around and driving around with these glasses on. I mean, I make reasons. I come up with reasons just to do it. Like, on the top of my head, I'm like, hey, but let's see, where should I go now? But, you know, what's cool, Mac, is, you know, like I said, you know, we live on a lake and there's rocky cliffs and, you know, stuff like that in the lake. You know, you drive by and you look at them now, and now the rocks have really beautiful brown tones and hues and rust color and oranges and reds to them. And you're like, wow, that's really cool. You know, I mean, that is pretty dang cool. So, like I said, I've been racking my brain of all the places I've been in the world. And, you know, what you kind of miss.
All the beautiful things. Yeah. And,
yeah. I mean, and they were beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Looking at them with the eyes that I had. But now, like, whew. And, you know, so now, like last night, I'm thinking to myself, man, they should come out with like a window tinting for your car. You know? So you're in your car, you just drive around and everything looks normal. You know, I'd put the window tinting on my car if they had it, or the windows of my house. Every time I look out the window, I'm like, oh, this is beautiful.
Prescription window tinting.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's
cool. Is that all it is, Mike? So it's based on the colors you can't see, and it's a certain type of tinting that makes those colors come alive? Is that what it is? Is that what the technology is?
Yeah, the technology allows. And there's a really good. I'll send you. There's an interview. There's a really good interview. You know, he's actually the guy that contacted us, Kent. He has an interview. I think they're in Australia, and he explains a little in detail of like how it works. It allows for that wavelength that, you know, it amplifies it, so it allows for people like myself, which I'm red, green, colorblind. You know, I took the test last night, and, you know, there's other colors I really can't see, but red, green is probably the best. And it was funny, he even said, like, you know, most people, like, in that thing think that purple is blue. And again, after looking at my jersey last night, like, when you were talking to me, saying, hey, what about a Vikings jersey? And I went and looked at it, you know, holy shit, purple's purple. You know, that's, I think, the biggest thing that I can see is the purple. And purple is really kind of a wow color to me now. Like, holy crap.
Does it make you want purple. To become a go back and become a Viking fan again?
No, I'm not in the NFL anymore.
You're not in the NFL? Yeah, I talked to our boy Knowles last night, and he's like, hey, are you watching this NFL game? I said, no.
Yeah.
I said, dude, don't you understand? Your buddies don't watch the NFL anymore. He's like, whoa. I said, yeah. You'll come to your senses at some point, trust me. And so I was telling him about your little thing. He goes, I have to listen. I said, no, it's cool. I said, do you know anybody who's colorblind? He said, yeah. He said, I know a bunch of people I said, if I was you, tell them to check this out. Because when you hear Mike go off on it, and I mean, I did the same thing with my son. My son's like yellow red or something like that. And, and he said, Dad, I'm only yellow red. I'm okay. And I said, look, listen to Mike. All right. And then get the glasses. So he said, okay, I'll listen. And, but just hearing you react to it is enough to, you may not be colorblind, but if people that you know, if they ask them, have you heard about these glasses? If not, listen to this guy on Almarine Radio or go to the website and watch people's reaction because it will certainly change your life. Right? Certainly change your life, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it made it a lot more interesting, I'll tell you that. It's just, yeah, it is a big transformation. And like I said, I can't wait to go. You know, I was looking up the botanical gardens here in Dallas, Fort Worth, and I'd like to go out there and look now. You know, or like I said, I would love, I don't know how they'd work in a museum, though, because it's indoors. But I'd really like to give it a shot. Because, you know, I've always been like a Monet fan. I like paintings. I love Renoir and Degas, Monet.
Monet, you're an impressionist guy?
Yeah. I love Monet paintings.
Yeah, hey, everybody, you didn't know we knew that kind of shit, did you? You thought we were just like stupid guys. Oh, talking shit on the radio. Yeah.
Couple dragging
Neanderthal. Yeah. No, yeah, Monet. Oh, impressionism. You like that, Gunner? Yes, I like it very much. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Monet and the water lilies. Yeah, boom, bitches. We're not just dumbasses and talking about bacon and shit like that. We can talk impressionism. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Here's an email for you. I didn't know they made indoor glasses. What do the indoor glasses run? I heard Max say yesterday that the glasses on the website were priced at about $350. Does Mike have any idea what the indoor glasses are? I didn't see them.
Yeah, they're on the website.
They are.
Yeah, if you go to their website and you go under, I think it's buy now, you know, under the menu. So I have a pair of, mine are called the Kittredge. So they're $429. I mean, they're pricier, but they're metal frames. Kind of cool.
Of course.
Yeah, they're stylish. Wait, are they Kittredge? No, they're the Canyon. I'm sorry, they're Canyon.
Do they look good on your head?
Yeah, they look pretty cool. they're really stylish, you know, sunglasses. They're not.
Yeah, I know. Goofy. No, if you look on the website, they're all good looking. Obviously, they're good looking eyewear. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
eyewear.
And they have glasses for kids too. That start at $260. But, okay, so they have indoor glasses, and you go down to the indoor. And I would probably get the Bancroft, but those are $429. You can get a gift card. They have a repair service. But, yeah, they have indoor glasses. But it's a neat website. You can go there, take the colorblind test on their website. And then go from there. And you can get them. And so you look in there. You can get them prescription. You send them their prescription. They'll give you prescription glasses. You know, and all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, they're a high end, place. And it's just it's cool. The technology to me is fascinating. that they can make something with those type of filters that allows, you know, that wavelength to enter my the cones of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And but if you go to and it talks about our technology, it explains really what it is and how what color blindness is. You know, how eyes see color, who's affected. It's 1 in 12 men and 1 in 200 women.
Why aren't
the
women
condition ranges,
why are women not affected as much?
I don't know. Maybe they're the superior race.
Maybe. Yeah. Hey, you're right. Maybe.
So, like you said, right here, you know, most people who suffer from color blindness are not blind to color. They have reduced ability to see color. Color blindness is also color vision deficiency. The genes that affect it, so it's carried in the X chromosome. You know, again, normal view. Symptoms and causes. The person with red-green color blindness who sees the world different. The red and green photopigments have more overlap than normal, making them unable to see certain colors. And Chroma found a way to alleviate this by creating a special lens and filters without specific colors. You know, so they go through a whole thing, and they got lenses that actually allow those wavelengths to enter my eyes. And it's just cool. I mean, to me, it's magic, man. I don't care. They did it.
I can see
great. Yeah. It's magic to me, and I love magic.
The all right, so look, the website, it's all over the place when you start checking it out, actually. So by all means, check it out. Again, the company's name is Enchroma, Enchroma. You can find the segment on our website. On the Almond Radio website, you can check it out. Very, 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 very cool stuff. The I want to ask you, one of the cool things about having sons that are in the Marine Corps is we're kind of having, the three of us were having a conversation about barrel melting and things like that, and the acoustics of the first rounds, how the acoustics seem to change later on. Maybe the difference between migrating from a fully automatic AR-15 type weapon with the SEER modified to that bump stock weapon. And then one of my sons sent me and we were talking about barrels. We started talking about barrels melting. So, Mike, how many rounds does it take to melt a barrel? One of them sent me a video of an M249 being fired and the suppressor literally melting off the weapon and then the front of the barrel beginning to droop. How many rounds do you have to shoot in order to get to that?
Well, steel melts at 2,750 degrees. So I don't know.
So that's
it depends.
That's what we're talking about. 2,750
yeah.
degrees
steel starts melting. So that really kind of depends on the thickness of the barrel, you know, what kind of steel. But generally steel melts at 2,750. And, you know, so that's, well, they're using, and I saw that video and it's kind of like, okay, one, I don't know why you would fire 700 something rounds through a saw nonstop.
Yeah. Well, because you were trying to make a video that melted stuff, obviously.
Yeah. So, right? So yeah. Now, what we talked about before is some suppressors, you know, are made from different stuff, you know, titanium or Inconel, and those have different melting points as well. I know they're a lot higher. You know, to melt titanium, oh, I don't even know what that is.
I'll find out. You keep talking.
Yeah, the melting point of titanium, or the melting point of Inconel, and I think Inconel is even higher than titanium.
Inconel.
So, yeah, so titanium is 3,334 degrees.
So more. You know, I was watching a program about the SR-71, and which was made out of titanium. They when they conceived of it, then they started going around and looking for to create the metal, and they found it in titanium, which is mostly at the time when they were trying to build the SR-71 was in the Soviet Union. So they had to create a dummy company to get the amount of titanium they needed to go ahead and make it. But because of the heat that would go over the metal of the aircraft, it would so degrade other metals that were being used, aluminum and whatnot, that they couldn't use any of those metals for the mission that the SR-71 was designed to do, to fly at such altitude, at such speed. And it's pretty interesting little thing on either the History Channel or Discovery Channel on the SR-71. If you see it, watch it, because it is a piece of technology that's crazy. The guys who talk about it, I mean, they're essentially astronauts that are flying, you know, photographic reconnaissance missions, and they talk about getting fired at from North Korea, and then they used to do dummy fires at them, and all of a sudden a real missile came up one day, and you know, and just because of the speed and the altitude, it missed us by 15 miles. Which is like 1.5 seconds or something like that. And so pretty interesting, just the technology behind, you know, an aircraft like that, and how they invented it, and how they solved through innovation, through technology that didn't even exist, they created things. And so it was really, really interesting, stuff. The I got an email for you. Mac, I've been seeing reports that this whole bump stock thing was approved on two separate occasions by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms under the Obama administration. I'm just curious how something like this could happen. Is that what your understanding is? Is that what the gunner understands? I defer to Mike. I've seen the same reports. I'm not sure if they're true. Mike, do you know anything about the history of that thing?
Yeah, the bump stock came out during the Obama administration, and the invention of it to disrupt it, make it into an automatic weapon like that. You know, and again, you know, you got to understand gun laws. You know, there's so many wives' tales on gun laws. It's absolutely ludicrous. But you know, Mac, here's my position on that. Is I still believe. And even if they come out and say it on TV that this guy had a bump stock gun, I'm going to tell you bullshit.
Why?
And because it's a platform. You're using bump stock as the scapegoat in this. To make the bump stock the villain, you know, and villainize, you know, guns and modifying guns. The whole nine yards, you know, of this, you know, I've asked people before, you know, is it against the law for you as an individual to make your own gun? And well, yeah, you can't make your own gun. No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
It's against the law for you to sell it. You can't sell it. You can make your own gun. You know, those types of things. And it really comes down to is, this is where I have a kind of a, and I, you know, I know people are like, well, you're preaching on the Second Amendment, you know, the whole thing. Well, okay, I get it, you know, but there's got to be a limit. There's got to be some kind of, and I know then people come back and say, well, once you start applying, you know, common sense to it, no one really understands what that means, and then the next thing you know, you don't have any guns. Okay, I mean, everybody wants to go extreme left.
You know, Mike, but that's the reefer madness discussion where, oh, if you take a hit off a joint, you know, like in 9 weeks, you're going to be doing heroin. Like, bullshit.
Right.
Come on. I mean, that's adults have a responsibility in our society to make sure adult things happen. And we rely on adults to do that. And so, to me, I've always found that argument really hollow in terms of, I mean, what the hell? You had the head of the NRA over the course of the last 48 hours coming out and saying that, hey, we think that the ATF should take a look at the bump stock again. Hello?
Right.
You know, that's Wayne LaPierre. And he said, but don't, I'll tell you what, Mike, what was really interesting this morning was, Fox had Dennis Kucinich, right, and on, and somebody else on, I can't remember who it was, and they're asking him, and Kucinich almost went down verbatim that article that you and I went through about the gun deaths. He said, look, we need to come together, and we need to look at gun violence, okay? There's going to be separate legislation that's going to be required for people with mental health, which was clearly, you know, at play in Las Vegas. We need separate legislation for drugs and gangs and separate programs to impact that number. We need separate legislation still further to deal with domestic violence incidents. And it's like, dude, he just went straight down the article. But it's awesome that somebody pulled the data apart, right, so that we can now look at solutions. And the other thing, the other conclusion that you can draw from the article, it's if these are gun deaths in the United States,
right,
and that's how they're footnoted, the average gun owner is a pretty responsible human being, because you have people that are mentally disturbed that are taking their own lives. That's 2/3. You have another, so that's 22,000 as we head towards 33,000. You have another 7,000, I'll round that number. You have another 7,000 that are men between 15-34, homicides normally linked to gang activity and drug activity. So that's a separate issue. That's not normal gun ownership. That's gun ownership with a purpose. And then you have domestic violence, which, you know, which my family's a part of. And that's a separate issue. Once you blow all that out, that's almost 31,000 of the 33,000 gun deaths in the country. So what does that tell you about the rest of the country and gun ownership? It's pretty fucking responsible. But we haven't really looked at on the numbers like that.
We're hyper focused on 58 people lost their lives in one day in Las Vegas through gun deaths, right? And everybody's like up and, oh my God, we can't stand for this. And if you look at the statistics will tell you that in Chicago, they lose 58 people every 28 days in gun deaths. And like I said, and they have more gun laws in Chicago than any other state combined. And it doesn't work. You know, what about the 58 people that died in 28 days in Chicago? And you can look by day, you know, from September 29th to, you know, or September 2nd to the 29th of September. And they go through how many people and who they are. And it goes city by city. And you can go, L.A. lost 58 people in, I think it was like 120-something days. You know, and California's got strict gun laws. But, you know, it's just, people lose focus when they see this, and it's like this knee-jerk reaction.
It's an old game that we play, that the two political parties play. It's a political thing.
Politicalize it as fast as you can.
Because again, when you look at the statistics, the answer isn't, and that's what the woman said, the title of the article. The woman says, you know, I thought the answer was gun control. I came away with a completely separate conclusion. And she's a data person, okay? She's a data person. She's not, you know, she had her own political beliefs. But, yeah, the headline is, I used to think gun control was the answer. My research told me otherwise. So, you know, And I hope what this does is what comes out of this is a better and this has been on the and I'll check right now, but it was the number one article, most read article in the Washington Post on Wednesday. It was number three yesterday, and I'll see if it's still in their top read column, but. Yes, it's still.
Well, I always tell people
it's still number three, and which is the power, and so I hope that this transforms this debate about gun violence into us truly making a difference. If you want to make a huge impact on gun deaths, focus on mental health. Focus on white men above the age of 46 who are suffering from depression. Who killed themselves?
Who was the congressman that was shot on the East Coast?
Steve Scalia.
Okay, so Scalia comes back to work after, rehabilitation and everything else. And the first thing that he's asked is, what about gun control? And he said the best was, it's not about gun control, it's about mental health. The guy that shot me, he had mental health issues. Where then, if you look at the left side, you have the gal down in Arizona that was shot, and she's all gun control. Because that was her belief. She's a liberal. She is the way she thinks. She's left. She thinks that by stopping guns, you stop crime. That's not the answer. Criminals don't follow the rules. Criminals don't go to Cabela's and buy guns. It's just amazing. Well, they steal them from gun owners. Okay, then pass legislation. I'm all for that. If someone breaks into my house and steals my guns, then that's a pretty hardened criminal, because he's got to get into a pretty sophisticated safe that's bolted to concrete. Because I'm not opening it. Put the ownership on the owner. Pass laws that punish people that don't secure things like that.
Or increase the penalties for stealing weapons. If you're caught stealing weapons.
Well, you can't do that, Mac, because then you get your other side that will incarceration. We can't incarcerate more people in the United States, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You can't put to death rapists.
No, I forget sometimes, man. I think that people that do bad things, I think bad things should happen to them, and then I have to be reminded that's not how we do it.
Yeah, that there's an organization out there that supports everybody. There's organizations out there that support the pedophile who raped and brutally murdered a six-year-old little girl. That guy has a support group.
Yeah, I know. He's a victim of it, too. We're all victims.
Yeah, he's a victim of society.
You're not responsible for it.
He was raised. He didn't have a mother and father.
I know. Killing people, it made sense to him, and it was ultimately our fault as a society, so we should.
Yeah, we failed him as a society. We all are to blame.
I know. I forget sometimes. Here's an email. Holy shit. I just took a test on that website. My grandfather was colorblind, and it says there are certain color combinations I am not seeing. Holy shit. I never knew this. The Almarine Radio, doing good things for people, man. The Musselman family. It's awesome. Glasses. Coincidentally, I saw a video on Facebook last night of a family that bought their estimated 60-something-year-old dad out on the front porch and gave him a set of those glasses for his birthday. When he put them on, he absolutely goes to pieces. The videos will make you cry, right? I don't know if yours.
Yeah.
I don't know if yours is any good, Mike. But some are really funny in that they take the glasses off and they put them back on and they're going, "Oh my god, oh my god!" And then others, they start crying. The people around them start crying. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I did that. I took them off, took them off. I was like, what's going on? Is this a trick? How's this working?
He's a monkey.
Yeah.
No, you know what it reminds me of? I remember the first time I saw high definition TV. It was like,
right?
Who are those people running around my television? Like, can I reach in there? Can I touch those people? No, you can't. And it was like, wow. The hey, Mike, I got to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about the Red Sox.
All right, go.
All right, the Gunner joins us on a Friday. More of Amarin Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Friday, Mike McNamara and Mike Musselman join you. And give me your thoughts. Red Sox yesterday downplaying Houston. How do you feel about that series?
I didn't watch it.
What? You were out running around. You were out running around the county looking at
stuff. Yeah, it was probably so. Yeah.
You were on your bike. I was on my bike riding around looking at things, looking at grasshoppers and butterflies. The Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you this. I have to say that the Red Sox, the Red Sox and the Yankees are in the same predicament. They are playing really good, really young baseball teams that have really good starting pitching. And so for either of them to win, I think we find ourselves in the same boat. We are, would be major upsets. Cleveland and Houston are really, really, really good baseball teams. So anyway, so if you didn't see it, they start again in about 12 minutes. They get going again. And if you're a baseball fan, today's one of the best days. Four playoff baseball games back to back to back to back to back. So if you're a baseball junkie, so be it. All right. Any thoughts on the Red Sox?
I know the Astros won last night. What was the score?
8-2.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Houston shortstop hit 3 home runs. He's like all of about 5'5".
Yeah.
He's like he did his Babe Ruth impersonation yesterday. You're like, what is going on? And again, against Chris Sale, who was lights out through most of the summer. He struggled towards the back end of the summer, but And then Cleveland did the same thing with the Yankees. That game ended 4-0, but the Yankees never even got close. They'll both play again. The American League games are on this morning, and then the National League games. I'll tell you, the series that's going to be really fun is the Cubs and Washington. They are both really good baseball teams, and they go head to head in the first round, so that'll be pretty cool to watch as well. So, anyway,
right.
I got an email about bacon for you. The Allman Radiohead chef was on a little bit earlier talking about everyday bacon. As you had somebody sent an email question to him. Could you explain the kind of bacon you buy, the thickness of the cut, and then how you prepare and store everyday bacon? I think is that what you called it? Or is that me making something up?
No. I mean, I just call it everyday bacon, sure. But that's bacon, though, is not the store-bought bacon. Stop going to the store.
Ooh.
Stop going to the store. The best bacon is go to a really good butcher shop. And then you can look at the slab bacon. Like the butcher shop that I go to down in Hamilton, Texas, called Wenzel. And if you ever get here, Mac, we will go down there and you'll be like, okay, this is the new gold standard.
Okay.
But they have the whole full slab, you know, the whole smoked pork belly, basically the bacon. It's not cut. And so then they'll put it on the machine and cut it to your thickness. And I get it kind of thick. I would say, I call it a 1.5 to 2 cut, you know, deli cut. So it's pretty thick. But I look at the ratio. You know, you don't want a lot of fat and you don't want a lot of meat. You want to kind of have, when you look at a piece of bacon, you have the top portion of the bacon is the meat, and then you have the fat underneath, and you'll have a pinker area underneath that. And you know, so when I look at it, I kind of do the 50-50 rule. I look at the piece of bacon, and then I say to myself, you know, is there 50% fat to 50% meat on this? Because the problem with packaged stuff is you get to see that last piece. You know, they put a little window in the back that right. You can open it up and look. The problem is, that's the best damn piece in the whole package. You know, your first piece is like a 10% meat, 90% fat. And, you know, and I get it. That's where fat, where the flavor comes in, but you also like that meat taste. And so I buy real thick smoked bacon. Every once in a while, I like the applewood smoke. I like pepper bacon. That's kind of it. And, you know, don't go buy packaged stuff in the grocery store, buy your Hormel or, you know, kind of crappy stuff like that. Go to a deli and get the good stuff. And when you go to a deli and you get the good stuff, it's just, when you get it cut, it's firm. You know, it's not not that greasy, slimy, fatty. It's dry. You know, again, in the deli, it's dry. They put it in the deli paper, and they wrap it up, and they put the tape on it. Yeah, I love that. But, yeah, stay away from the grocery bacon as much as possible.
All right, and then you just store it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, and then how I cook it is I don't like cooking it on – I do every once in a while. I like to cook it in a, on a pan, but then, I, you know, you get grease everywhere. I have one of those splatter screens. You ever seen those?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fine mesh screen that goes over a pan, keeps right. splattering all right. over your oven. Yeah, I use that. But what I also like to do is I put it into the oven and cook it in the oven. And I put it on, you know, a raised cookie sheet that has edges on it. Put down tin foil, and then tack them in there. And I throw it in there, I think 325, 350 for about 15 minutes. And it cooks. And it's really good.
Okay.
And if you want to get away from the...
Hold on, hold on. What do you put it on? It's in the center rack of the oven. And what do you put it on?
Yeah. 325, 350. For about 15 minutes.
Okay, for 325, 350 for about 15 minutes.
Yeah. And it doesn't splatter, it doesn't get everywhere.
Mike, you want to know something interesting? That's how Kim said that he does his, you know, in his restaurant. He said because we used a lot of bacon for everything from Cobb salads to different dishes. He said that's how he told us that he said you can get parchment paper that absorbs grease and then we used to stick it in the oven he prefers
but that. If I'm doing breakfast
yeah
per se, what I like to do is cook the bacon first in a pan on the oven, right? And then all that bacon grease, that fat that's left in the pan,
yeah,
then I cook the hash browns in that.
Oh, and give it flavor
and absorb all that flavor. Yeah, I do the stringed hash browns, cook them up there, you know, freshly grated potatoes, throw them in there. You blanch them, you put them in there, and you just cook them until they're nice and crispy, flip them, and then you absorb that bacon grease in there, and they get that, ooh, man, it's pretty damn good. Now you're making me hungry.
All right, there you have it. Everyday bacon. I did that for the first time last week. Made bacon and wound up throwing it in salads. But you know what? The other thing, it's when you wake up in the morning, you take a couple pieces and you just throw it in the microwave and heat it up a little bit, and then there's nothing that tastes like bacon.
No, and you know I'll make everyday bacon, and then during the week I'll slice up a nice red tomato, some green leafy lettuce, put it on some whole grain bread, and then have myself a nice BLT.
Nice. You know, BLT is one of my favorite sandwiches. The combination of the mayonnaise, the tomato, the lettuce, and the bacon. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I know there in California, you guys add avocado. So.
Yeah, avocado. Yes, come on, man. And avocado, avocado, little turkey. Come on, how do you say no to that? But really, it's the bacon though that you know. Bacon with pancakes and maple syrup. Bacon and maple syrup, come on.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you want to try something cool?
Yeah.
Crumble up the bacon and put it in your pancake mix.
Put it in the pancake batter?
Yeah. that's good, too.
I've never, ever even thought about that. Wow, who knew?
Bacon on egg. You can put... You know, like I said, use that bacon for if you're doing soups, especially like creamy soups like your, you know, cheddar pano or potatoes in it, and then chop up some bacon, throw it in there. You can make a grilled cheese sandwich, put some bacon in there, crumble up bacon in a grilled cheese sandwich. I had for the first time a maple glazed donut with crispy bacon on top. And it was delicious. Oh.
Do they sell that at Whole Foods?
No, I don't think so. No. But I do my meatloaf. Remember I told you I do my meatloaf with bacon. I wrap, you know, I do the meatloaf pan, and then I make that lattice, weave the bacon in there, and use that, find the pan, then put the meat on top and wrap the bacon around so it cooks. And then you get that nice crispy texture of bacon. When you cut it, you get, it's wrapped in bacon. Bacon scallops, easy to do. Go buy some scallops, you know, big ones, wrap them with tin, and then put a skewer through it or toothpick, and then put them in a pan with some garlic oil. And that's really good. I mean, everything, man. Bacon, anything.
The all new improved Gunner joins us. So where are you going sightseeing over the weekend?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know though, but I am definitely going somewhere.
All right. And bottom line, if you just joined us, I think the All Marine Radio institutional position is if you know anybody who has any form of color blindness, find out if they've heard about in chroma glasses, and then send them to the website.
Just to that website, yeah, and have like a test and look at it. Money back guarantee, 60 days, or your money back. It fixes the towards more red green colorblind people like myself.
Right.
It's truly an eye opener. It really is.
But you know what? Even if it makes it better, you know what I'm saying? Like my son, hold on, let me read you this email. Yesterday, I was listening while I was working, and when the Gunner went off about his glasses, I was laughing until he got to the point where he talked about seeing his wife's eyes for the first time. Now, I want to tell you that I'm not a pussy. I don't cry at a lot of stuff, but I straight up got tears in my eyes. For that reason alone, you should get them. Because him saying those words and the way he said them was very, very cool and well worth whatever the hell they paid for them. So anybody who's sitting on the fence and unsure, go buy them. Go buy them. You owe it to yourself to try it, and then whatever happens, happens. I'm still in shock that two jackasses like you can sometimes get me to be emotional. I find that embarrassing. But other than that, I do enjoy the program. Congratulations to congratulations to the Gunner and his family.
I said something yesterday that made someone kind of stop seeing when I said, you know, someone asked me to describe the color of love. I would say for the color of your wife, person you love the most, your wife's eyes. You know, and like I said, I knew her eyes were blue, but when I had the glasses on, we were outside and said, "Hey, look at my eyes." And I turned to her and looked at it. I couldn't say anything.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
Well, your stock went right to the roof. You could do anything now for a while.
At least a day. I think it's over with. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, first of all, Mike, on behalf of everybody else who's emailed and whether they use them themselves or try it themselves or would they turn something else on it, please extend to your wife and your daughter our thanks for introducing us to it so that other people can find out. So well done, bro. Thank you very much.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. There you have it. Michael Musselman. Pretty cool. No matter how you slice that story, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, when he talked about his wife, forget about it. My thanks to the All Marine Radio head chef for coming on. If you missed the first part of the program, stand by because I don't want to say that I got the blowtorch out this morning because I don't like that. But I saw some things over the last 24 hours that irritated me. And I have this saying in life. don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining, because I don't like that. And that's what I felt I was watching. So, and from a variety of people, okay, from a variety of people. Cam Newton gets singled out. Shannon Sharp gets singled out. Shannon Sharp more so than Cam Newton. Cam Newton made a mistake. You know, he's trying to make it right. But it's tough when you make a mistake, you double down on it, you triple down, and then you quadruple down. And then after other people intercede, now then you apologize. What that tells me is that you don't really believe that. Somebody else is making you. So, but again, that's fine. We all grow up. We all learn different. I don't have any issue with that. Okay. But the chairman, Congress gets drug into it. The flag officers, the general officers of the American military get drug into it, because I don't think a lot of them have done their jobs. So, yeah, you'll hear that momentarily. So have a great weekend. Again, my thanks to the All Marine Radio head chef for coming on, talking everyday bacon, talking. He debuted as the big salami bookie for us today, so you'll hear that. And then the other thing you'll hear is the Gunner. So a big week for the Musselman family, and. Very excited. And all she had to do was hear the excitement in Mike's voice. So, cool stuff. Anyway, have a great weekend. Baseball starts momentarily. You can watch for the rest of the day. That's probably what I'm going to do. So, have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday. Commander Salamander on Monday. Yeah. We're going to talk leadership in the Navy, Navy issues. He's got a blog. If you do a search on Commander Salamander, he's been doing it for a long time. So he has an everyday job. I think they blog once a week. They do a podcast once a week. So anyway, have a great weekend on a Friday. All Marine Radio, over and out.